Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Please open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, that's going to serve as our text this evening. I'm always appreciative of opportunities to preach, and I'm planning to do a little bit of that tonight. But also, I would like for tonight's time together, I would like for it to be informational as well as motivational as we study about serving behind the scenes as well as out front. Now, Rick prayed that we'd be able to put into practice the things that we hear tonight, and that's the whole point of every sermon, of every Bible class, every time we come together. But especially that's what I would like to see happen as a result of this evening. I want us to take a look at 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'd like for us to highlight, along with 2 Kings chapter 5, I'd like us to highlight some aspects of the big campaign that are coming up. I don't think we can talk enough about our campaign that's coming up this June. But I would like to take an opportunity tonight to talk specifically about the jobs. As you know, we've been announcing out here in the foyer on the big map, there are some sign-up sheets, and we want to see those. I didn't put enough spots on those sheets for everybody in the congregation, and the hope was that we would fill up what's there and then have to remove those and put up some new ones. So hopefully tonight we can highlight some of the jobs and folks can decide where you'll be of greatest service. I do hope we're already making plans to be a part of the Big Week. That's going to be a really exciting event here in Columbia. And that's coming up June 23rd through 29th. That when we do mission trips every year, there are some things I hear. I know there are some reasons why some folks cannot participate when we go to other countries. So this mission trip, this is finally a mission trip that doesn't require any flying for those who are afraid of flying or just don't like it very much. This is, you know, finally a mission trip where we do not need translators. We may very well bring in some of our missionaries, but they'll be the ones that need translators, not you. Finally a mission trip where you don't have to go into a new culture and feel strange. Again, our missionaries, if they come to work with us, they'll be the ones that have to feel strange on this mission trip. You know, finally, a mission trip that doesn't require a huge financial sacrifice, because that's part of mission trips is paying for the cost. What we're asking for in the big week are your time and your talents. We want you and us, we want all of us to dedicate a week of our time and our God-given abilities to the kingdom. Tonight I'd like for us to start off in 2 Kings chapter 5 and highlight the characters in this story of Naaman. I'd like for us to highlight the characters. Let's start off in verse 1 and talk about Naaman. Scripture says, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. We're introduced in this verse to Naaman. As the scripture says, he's a great commander of the Syrian army. He's the general. He's the man that's been trained. He's been disciplined. And now he's the leader of the army. He's at the top of his profession. He's a great man. He's in great favor with his master. And we'll see that here in a few verses in terms of the way the king of Syria wants to help him. He's also described as a servant, so he must have been a good servant to his master. But also we read that he's a mighty man of valor. As we read the story, we think about the way that the king of Syria wants to help him, we get the idea that he must have been a man that was trustworthy. He must have been the kind of man that you could depend upon. But also when we read about the way that he cared for the way that his servants cared for him, we get the idea that he must have been a man that really took care of the people around him. He must have been somebody who was fair and honorable and respected. But there's that one word, but he was a leper. Even great men have flaws, and we know this. We probably realize that all of us have our flaws. Some are better than others at covering them up and hiding them. Unfortunately, Naaman's flaw was one that was not easily covered up. He was suffering from leprosy. This morning, Andrew was preaching about shadows and substance. And when we think about leprosy or read about leprosy in the Old Testament, we can think of that as a shadow of sin. We can look at Naaman as a representative of the sinner in the world. We've got a lot of great people in our world that are at the top of their professions. They're idolized. It just seems like they've got everything that this world has to offer. Yet they're sinners who are in need of healing. And that's, Naaman can serve as that type of a shadow in our minds this evening. Let's read on and introduce another character in this story. Let's look at verses 2 through 4 and think about the servant girl. The text says, "Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy.' So Naaman went in and told his lord thus, and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, 'When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy.' And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me.'" We're introduced here in these first few verses that I read to the little Israelite servant girl. And, you know, as the text says, she's been carried off by the Syrians. She's been forced to serve as a maid or a servant to the wife of Naaman. She's been taken from her family. She's been taken from her people. She's been taken away from her nation. But they could not take away her faith. So we see her sort of serving as the missionary in this story. She serves as the missionary to Naaman, the missionary to Syria. She's the one who tells Naaman about the way to find the healing that he wants, to be healed from his leprosy. She knows that the false prophets in Syria would be able to do nothing for him. She knows that the false gods would not have the power to be able to do anything for him. But she shares her faith in the one true God and his prophet who would be able to heal Naaman of his leprosy. As we read on in verses 5 through 7, there must have been some kind of a little misunderstanding, because Naaman told the king about what the servant girl had said about the prophet, but yet the king sends a letter to the king of Israel asking him to heal Naaman. So when Naaman comes, he's got gold and he's got silver and clothes. He's got all these gifts and payment for that healing. But the king of Israel, he's all upset because there's nothing he can do. He's not able. He's the wrong source. He doesn't have the ability to cure Naaman of his leprosy. You know, even if he had wanted to, that king of Israel was wicked. Even if he had wanted to ask God to heal Naaman, God probably wouldn't have listened to him because he was wicked. But it's important for us to recognize that people are not going to be saved if they follow false gods. They're not going to be healed if they follow false information. And there's a greater chance that folks will be lost if we never point them in the right direction. I often quote this quote by Wendell Winkler. He's a gospel preacher that's passed away now, but he wrote once in one of his books that, "How can I be saved if others are lost due to my negligence?" I think that ought to be a challenge to us to speak to others. You know, we live in a culture that today impacts Christians in so many ways. And we live in a culture today that says, you know, I'll believe my way and you believe your way, and even if I think your way is false information, I won't say anything about it because my culture tells me not to. Do we really love others if we allow culture to impact us to that point? How can we be saved if others are lost because we never pointed them in the right direction? So we're introduced there to the servant girl. She serves behind the scenes. She's the one that provided a little bit of information to lead him to the source of healing. Let's read on verses 8 through verse 14 about our final character that we're talking about tonight, and that's Elisha. Scripture says, "But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean.' But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, 'Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, 'My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, "Wash and be clean"?' So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." We're introduced here to Elisha. This is the prophet that Naaman's been told about. He's heard about what's happened, and he calls for Naaman to come down. And Naaman comes to his house, and it's interesting that Elisha doesn't even come out to see him. You think about a man as great as Naaman, he was probably accustomed to people showing him a bit more honor and respect. I often think along these lines when I hear folks who seek autographs of famous people. I've had opportunities to meet a few famous people, but I usually just sort of, if I have to, I shake their hand and keep going because I don't really care to have their autograph. I've got one. It signs pretty well. But sometimes the world sort of idolizes people who are famous, and maybe Naaman seems to have expected something like that. I believe it was verse 11. He said, "Behold, I thought..." You know, Elisha sent out this messenger telling him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. But behold, I thought, I really thought something more was going to occur. He seemed to expect that maybe Elisha was going to come out and wave his hands in the air. Maybe he was going to throw some magic dust or something and perform this amazing cure, this amazing miracle that would cure him of his leprosy. And sometimes I wonder if that's not the way the world feels. Occasionally, I've talked with folks who have found the New Testament church, and when folks enter into a strange church looking for the church, sometimes they come in with certain ideas. Maybe they expect the clergy to be wearing a certain wardrobe, or maybe they expect the building to be very ancient with certain types of pictures and paintings. Maybe they come in a little more New Age. Maybe they're looking for a full concert up on the stage. Maybe they're looking for all the bright lights shining down on whoever's singing. But when we look in Scripture, it's kind of amazing to notice the simplicity that comes with the New Testament church and its worship. We come in with all these "behold, I thoughts," and I've had opportunities to have so many times folks say, "Man, I was just amazed by the simplicity and the beauty of a cappella singing." Because, behold, they thought, they came in expecting one thing and found so much more in simplicity. But in the end, Naaman's convinced that, why not just give it a try? You've come all this way, just give it a try. Go and dip in the Jordan. And sure enough, the result is that he's healed. But think about these characters. We'll talk a little bit more about Naaman in the conclusion, but think about the two characters, the servant girl and Elisha. You got the servant girl serving behind the scenes, and then you've got Elisha serving out front. In the church today, we need both. In our big week that's coming up, we need both. We need folks that can serve behind the scenes and point people to the right source. But we also need folks who are courageous and brave and willing to serve out front. Even if it's not what you normally prefer to do, we need folks who are willing to serve out front and show people what they must do to be saved. You know, we also may encounter some Naamans. That's our goal. We want to encounter some Naamans in big week. Sinners who need to be healed. And hopefully the people serving behind the scenes and the people serving out front can work together to lead them to salvation. Let's focus a little bit on the big campaign. Again, we're thinking behind the scenes and serving out front. Where will you choose to serve in the big campaign? I hope that you won't choose not to serve, but if you do choose to serve, where will you choose to serve? It may be that when you hear this story about Naaman, it may be that you identify most with the servant girl. It may be that you prefer to do your service in the church behind the scenes, and I think that's great. We need you to be a part of Big Week. There's work for you to do. It may be that you read more about Elisha and you think, you know, the serving out front, that sort of suits my personality better. Well, if that's the case, we think that's great as well. We need you to be a part of the big campaign. Would add this also, don't cheat yourself. Just because, don't say, you know, I don't feel comfortable serving out front just because you've never done it before. Give yourself an opportunity to try it. You just might like it. It's kind of like vegetables. If you do it, you just might like it. But give yourself an opportunity to serve this June, whether it's behind the scenes or out front. There's a job for everybody. You know, we've got lists up, but we don't have descriptions on those lists of the different things that you can do. So I thought I would highlight some of those things tonight. And these are jobs that are behind the scenes and out front. One of the first lists that you're going to come to on the big map out there is we just need people to prepare and to clean up Graymere Hall. Our plan is to have several of our missionaries come in, as I mentioned, and they're going to arrive on June 22nd, and they're going to spend the whole week sleeping in Graymere Hall. So we need folks that are going to prepare the lodge for them. We would like also in the first few nights to have our teenagers, our youth to come and sleep in the lodge as well, because there's something, I can't quite describe it, when everybody sleeps in the same place on a mission trip, there's something about the bonds and the closeness, staying up late at night and talking and discussing the things that you experience during the day, talking about the different Bible studies or the different types of people that you encountered or the people that you helped. There's something about the closeness that comes from that situation. So we're still going to try to reproduce that, even though we're working in Columbia, and have folks stay in the lodge. So we need folks that are able to make sure that it's clean for our visitors. Folks that live here, it's no problem to bring your linens and your towel and your pillow, but that might be hard for our missionaries. We need folks who can gather those things together for us. And it might be the case that some of you aren't even, you already know your schedule that far out. You're not going to be available, but there's some things you can do now to prepare for the big week. You know, you can gather those linens and pillows and toiletries and towels for our missionaries. We need people who can gather some snacks and drinks and make sure those things are there for the missionaries that are staying there all week. You know, one, I'll probably say the least amount about this is the lunch crew, yet that's probably one of the biggest jobs that, you know, we probably had 500 or something folks here this morning. I think we ought to have 500 or so people sign up to work in big. That'd be a big job to prepare lunch for that many people. But it might be that's your talent. That's your ability, is to plan menus and shopping lists and to prepare food and to serve food. We may even need people to clean up after us. Hopefully the people who are being served and eating will clean up after themselves, but that might be another area. The lunch crew, that might be an area behind the scenes where you can serve. One of the lists out there is one of our biggest lists that we need the biggest amount of people to sign up for is for the door knocking team. This is more of an out front job. But there's also some behind the scenes aspects of serving on the door knocking crew. To be an evangelism worker. You know, we need people who can direct a small group from door to door. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the one doing all the talking, but you need to at least be able to read road signs and to know what road or what area you've been assigned to and direct your group and to accomplish the task. We need people who can direct a group. We need helpers. This is more of a behind the scenes. We need people that can just knock on a door and smile. So maybe somebody out front is doing the talking, but we need folks who can smile and greet and give out flyers and invite children to Vacation Bible School. We do need people who can lead a Bible study. That's our goal. We want to encounter some Naamans that need healing. And so we need folks who can conduct a Bible study. We're going to have some preparation classes leading up to it. One of them is going to start the last Sunday morning in February. So if you want to prepare yourself to be able to do that, there's going to be opportunity. We need people who can assist in Bible study. That means maybe you throw in an extra verse that you think would be helpful or a comment here and there, but you just assist. It might mean that there's children in the family that are being kind of noisy. It might mean that you just give your attention to them so that the adults or young people in the Bible study can listen and understand. We need people who can follow up with contacts and do follow-up studies following the big week. You know, I think also when we think about door knocking and evangelism, we may be thinking, adults, this is a great job for kids. All of my kids are going to serve on that area. Because there's something special about having small children come with you. When you knock on a door, there's a little bit better reception when it's a small child knocking on a door. There's a little bit more courteousness when it's a small child knocking on the door than maybe just an adult would receive. So we need people of all ages to serve in that area. You know, another aspect, there's not a sign up for this, but we need people who will promote the big week activities. It might be that you like social media. Maybe you've got a Facebook and an Instagram and a Twitter and there's a gazillion other social medias. We need you to promote the big week. Occasionally we've put out some photos of the billboard and different things on Facebook. We need you to share those every week or every month. We need you to help us get the word out to others. You know, I believe they're still available. We've had car magnets that we've made available for folks to put on their cars. I tried. I don't know what's wrong with the back of my car. I slapped it on there and it fell straight to the ground. So I don't have one, but you know, I parked twice today, and the car I parked next to had one on the back of it, and I noticed it. So folks are going to see that. So, you know, you can put a magnet on your car that promotes the big week. You can invite a non-Christian friend to come one night with you. You know, we all like to eat, and our friends like to eat with us. You can invite a friend to go out and eat dinner with you before you come. You can say, hey, after we eat, we'd like for you to come and hear this amazing guest speaker that we've got coming in to talk about this really relevant cultural topic. So invite a friend to come with you. You know, we've got billboards and a website where we're asking folks to submit a question. If you could ask God one question, what would it be? But you know, the website's not the only way to submit questions. It doesn't have to come through the website. It doesn't have to come through the billboard. You could just ask your friends. Start asking your coworkers, your friends, your family. If you could ask God one question, what would it be? Write down their questions and turn those in to us. You can help us by getting questions. And that might even give you an opportunity later on if we decide that we're going to answer one of those questions. You can go back to them and say, hey, they're going to answer your question on such and such night. Why don't you go with me? That's a great lead-in, an opportunity to invite someone. You know, another area that I think everyone will be able to participate in, there's not a sign-up sheet for this one, and I don't want to present this one as a substitute for Big Week because that's not what it is, but you can donate towards the Big Week. We hope that we can have a special contribution one Sunday where everything above the normal budget will go towards Big Week expenses and toward additional needs. In order to do this big, then we're going to have to give big. So that's an opportunity for all of us. Of course, I think we already try to do that every first day of the week. We can work in VBS. This can be out front or behind the scenes. Soon, Chad's going to have sign-up lists going around all of the Sunday morning Bible classes. There's going to be so many opportunities for you to serve in VBS. VBS is going to be at nighttime. Some of the other big activities are doing during the day. You can do both, or you can do one or the other, but I know Chad would love to have people sign up to work in VBS. He told me just the other day he needs specifically some people who will just guide groups of kids through the church building as they go from station to station or classroom to classroom. He needs guides. He needs people who can serve snacks in the kitchen. He needs people to clean up after VBS each night. He needs people to decorate for VBS. He needs people to help with puppet skits. So some of those things are behind the scenes, some are out front, but we need people to sign up to work in VBS. We need bus and van drivers and helpers. We'd love to bring families to VBS each night, kind of like the old Joy Bus ministry idea. Maybe there's some liability issues with that as to why maybe we can't bring just children anymore, but there's really no reason why we can't, while we're knocking doors and doing evangelism, why we can't be signing up entire families that would like a ride to come to VBS. We could bring an entire family. We need somebody who could serve as a coordinator of that. Maybe you can have your list of everybody that's supposed to be picked up, and you can tell Jack or Charles where to go to pick them up, and you can check them off the list, and then you can make sure they get back on the bus after VBS. We need some young people to be a part of this. We need young people who can entertain and have fun and sing with the children that come on the bus to VBS. But we need some mature Christians to be a part of this. I don't know about you, but if I were going to get on a bus to go somewhere, I would like to get on there with some sweet grandmas rather than with just a bunch of kids. So we need some sweet grandmas to sign up to be a part of that ministry in big. We're going to have work teams. We need folks who can help us with the work teams. And you don't necessarily even have to have John Compton's handyman skills. You know, as of right now, I believe Chris mentioned this once, I don't think we've actually even had any jobs turned into us yet. That could be your way of helping. You know needs. You know people. When you see somebody that's really struggling, somebody that really wants to do what's right, somebody that really needs Jesus, if there's something we can do to help them that week so that we can then hopefully open a door to be able to teach them about Jesus, we want to know about that. You could help the work team the most possibly by sharing with them an opportunity to work and to help others. But maybe you are able to lead a small work team and to do various projects each day. Maybe you are good with a paintbrush and able to be a helper and to sort of be directed and told or taught how to do different things each day. And we need evangelism workers who can go out with the work teams. If they're working in a neighborhood, we need to go and evangelize that neighborhood as well. We need folks that can go and get it. I told Charles Smith this is his job every time we go anywhere. He's always the go and get it guy. We need people who can be given a list and they can go to Sam's or they can go to Kroger or they can go to Lowe's and get whatever we need. They can get food or materials for the work team. We need folks who can go to the airport and pick up and drop off missionaries or guest speakers that are coming in to help us. We need folks who can sign up to be a part of the child care team. We need some sweet grandmas. We often give this one to teens, and teens are welcome. But we need some sweet grandmas. We need some folks that can organize activities and come up with some fun activities and crafts and entertain small children so that their parents can use their abilities in Big Week. But you know, I guess I would sum all of that up in saying, we need you to be here. Whether you choose to serve behind the scenes or out front, we need every part of the body here at Graymere to be here. Nowadays, it's hard to get people to come hear the gospel. That's why gospel meetings are not as frequent as maybe they used to be. It's hard to get strangers to come to a strange place to hear the gospel. It's hard to get parents to send their children to a strange place for VBS. Unfortunately, it's hard to get the members of the body to come and support those things. So we need every Christian to be here. We need your time. We need your presence. We need you to be here. That might involve rearranging schedules. We can start working on that right now, making sure that we have time to give our abilities to the kingdom. Where will you serve during Big Week? Whether behind the scenes or out front, please choose to serve. I told you we would come back to Naaman here at the end. The target audience of the Big Week are the Naamans that are in our community. The people, maybe they're rich, maybe they're poor, but the people who are sick and need Jesus. Hopefully we all identify, whether it's with the servant girl or with Elisha, but it's also possible when this many people come together that somebody might identify more with Naaman tonight. And that's why we're here. We're here to encourage you and to teach you that if you'll repent of your sins and confess Jesus as the Son of God, that healing can be found when you're baptized for the remission of your sins. So we're here to encourage the Naamans to respond to the Lord's invitation. If you need to respond to His invitation, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?